When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Fabio Vieira. Welcome to this edition of the Arsenal Match Day audio program.
Arsenal versus Luton Town, Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Kickoff, 7:30 p.m. The contents: captain's notes around Arsenal. Player feature, Emile Smith-Rowe. Women, sustainability, community voice, my fave shirt. Academy young gun, Henry Jeffcott. Around the academy, visitors, Luton Town. Match action, Arsenal versus FC Porto. Match action, Manchester City versus Arsenal, teams.
Martin Odegaard, captain's notes. I felt it was a good performance from us away to Manchester City on Sunday, but obviously we wanted to win the game. We're a bit frustrated because we felt like we had the chances to win it, especially in the second half, so there's a bit of disappointment we couldn't do that, but at the end it's a strong point against them. It's always a tough game against Man City, but that draw means we took 4 points from them this season, and we also took 4 from Liverpool. It shows how much we've improved this season, especially if you compare our performance on Sunday to the game we played there last season. We've taken steps forward. I think we looked much more mature than we have done in these types of games before, so there's a lot of positives from that side too. We didn't have the ball as much as we're used to, of course, but at times you expect that when you play against the side that's been the best in the world in the last few years, especially with what they did last season. Everyone knows their quality, and against any team they'll have periods when they dominate a lot. We had to be ready for those moments, but also be able to enjoy those moments too and be prepared to suffer when we defended. Then when we won the ball, you saw that we had the chance to hurt them. I think we did really well, but we just didn't take our chances. A few times when we won possession, we should have been a bit cleaner on the ball, but defensively, I think we did very well. That defensive work from everyone in the team takes a lot of energy as well, so when you do win it back, it's not always that easy to get going again going forward. But overall, I think it was a strong performance from us. It's very close at the top. At the start of the season, we spoke about how important our games would be against the top teams. Last season, we lost both games to Manchester City, and those 6 points would have made all the difference in the final table. So if you look at the table now, we've taken the most points in that mini-league with Liverpool and Manchester City, but we're still behind, so that shows the importance of every single game throughout the season. Facing Luton Town tonight is another example of that. These are the games we have to win, and we can't drop our level at all for any single game. We have to be right on it every single time. We've done well against the promoted teams so far this season, but you can only do that if you give everything, because we saw what Luton can do in the away game earlier this season. They're a dangerous side. They're strong in the boxes, good with set pieces. So we'll have to be at our best because this is another tough challenge. That away game gives you all the evidence there. It'll obviously be a different style of game to what we faced on Sunday. We'll need to be patient, find the right times for a killer pass, and then we have to be ruthless when we do get chances. It's important to get a good start too. Don't give them any confidence at the beginning, and then we have to play our game. We're looking forward to it, because we're back at home, back under the lights at Emirates Stadium, and we'll need full focus and determination from everyone to get the result we need. We know the quality we have, so if we can show full commitment again, focus everything on this game, then we should be strong enough to come through. The situation at the top of the table is so close, and we're aware of that, obviously, but it's down to us to put our focus and our mindset just on ourselves and the business we have to do. Every day in training, our focus is on what we can control, and that's the way we need to continue, because the games are coming quickly now. It looks like a busy month, but I'm feeling fresh, the fitness is good. We had a little break after the Porto game, and then went away with the national team for a couple of games. So that was good to change the scenery before the end of the season. But my legs feel good, and at this stage of the season, everyone is just so excited, and it helps your recovery anyway when you have so many nice things to play for. It's down to us to make sure we're 100% ready every time we play, push each other to perform, and keep raising the level. Finally, I want to finish by congratulating the women's team for the Conti Cup win over Chelsea at the weekend. We found out in the dressing room after the Man City game, and it's brilliant for the club. I was happy especially that they could do it for Frida, who of course is also a fellow Norwegian. It was so worrying when I heard about what happened to her on the pitch, but the good news is that she is recovering well. So it's beautiful that they could win it for her and bring more silverware to the club. We all hope Frida is back to full fitness soon.
Around Arsenal, for club and country, Declan Rice skippered England while winning his 50th cap last week against Belgium, the 10th Arsenal man's player to captain the Three Lions. Arsenal's association with the England armband stretches back to April 1930, when David Jack became the first ever England skipper on our books when he led the Three Lions to a 5-2 win against Scotland. Jack marked the occasion by grabbing a goal, and he would go on to skipper his side three more times. Two of Jack's teammates would soon assume the role. Eddie Hapgood is one of our most decorated players with 5 league titles, and he was a leader at international level too. The first time he skippered England came in 1934 during the infamous Battle of Highbury, when the reigning home nations champions beat World Cup winners Italy at our former home. He would be captain for 10 successive matches, before his fellow fullback and Arsenal icon George Mayle took over for most of the 1936-37 season. Hapgood resumed the captaincy in April 1938 and held it for 11 successive matches until World War II broke out in 1939, making him our most capped England captain with 21 occasions leading his side. 36 years would pass before we had another player lead out England, when Alan Ball was handed the armband by Don Revie against West Germany at Wembley in March 1975. After beating the then world champions, he kept the position for the next 5 matches and remained undefeated. Next, Tony Adams was handed the armband on his 33rd cap in a friendly against Romania in 1994 and was captain for England's Euro 96 campaign. David Platt, David Seaman and Martin Keown all captained England in this period while with us, and Sol Campbell was the last Arsenal player to skipper the nation before Rice in the summer of 2005. England women's team has also been skippered by Arsenal players on many occasions, and current captain Leah Williamson famously led her country to success at Euro 2022. Conti Cup winners again. Huge congratulations to Arsenal women, who retained the Continental Cup after scoring a late goal in the final against Chelsea on Sunday. After a cagey match against our old rivals ended 0-0 after 90 minutes, penalties seemed to be on the cards before Stina Blackstenius was on hand to shoot past Hannah Hampton on 116 minutes. Jonas Eidevall's team hung on for the final 4 minutes, and there were joyous scenes at Molineux when the final whistle sounded, as many of the 21,462 in attendance celebrated our record-extending 7th League Cup victory. Further good news came from the medical team, who allowed Frida Marnham to travel home with the squad after the Norwegian had collapsed on the pitch during extra time, causing all in attendance great concern. We will feature an extended report and more photography in next week's Bayern Munich programme. But for now, once again, congratulations girls. You've done our club proud. North London Forever. Remembering Rocky. Today we extend a warm welcome to the Rocastle family who are in attendance at the Arsenal match that falls closest to David's untimely passing on March 31st, 2001. The club legend joined our academy at the age of 15, and having made his debut 3 years later, would feature 275 times in red and white, scoring 34 goals, but more importantly, the firm fan favourite, added grace and style to the teams that won the league title in 1988-89 and 1990-91. Tragically, David was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in October 2000 and passed away less than 6 months later, aged just 33. David's wife Janet, daughters Melissa and Monique, and son Ryan are regulars on match days and around the club, and it is always a pleasure to see them. We hope they enjoy the game. Five Star Supporters Club. Welcoming supporters clubs to Emirates Stadium on their special match day. Today we welcome fans from Arsenal Philadelphia, a supporters club that was formed in 2002 and now has close to 600 members but attracts up to 2,000 non-members when the club meets up to watch the Gunners in their local pub. In the 1990s, there were few, if any, places to watch the Premier League in the US, says Arsenal Philadelphia chair Stuart Nelson. In Philadelphia, there was one pub in the city with a dodgy satellite feed, and fans of every club packed in together to watch their respective matches. Arsenal supporters naturally gravitated to one another, and in 2002, the club was formed to keep supporters in our area connected with each other and to communicate about upcoming matches and other events. We often have breakfast get-togethers for early kick-offs, and we have at least one or two Members' Day events each season, where we have free food and drinks for all our members after a match so we can connect with each other and make new friends, Stuart adds. Club members are regular attendees when Arsenal play in the United States. Last summer we took two coaches full of Philly Gooners to MetLife Stadium in North Jersey and had a massive tailgate party in the parking lot with well over 200 people, says Stuart. There's no need for bus trips this summer though, as Arsenal will be coming here to Philly. Cole joins Hall of Fame. Ashley Cole has become the latest former Gunner to be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame. Our former left-back and member of the Invincibles has been bestowed with the honour having lifted the league title three times and is the 22nd player to be included. Ashley came through our academy and made his first team debut in November 1999. He played 385 games in the Premier League, 156 of which were in our colours, and was part of an Arsenal side that clinched the league title in 2001-02 as part of a domestic double, and 2 seasons later he was involved in the 32 of the 38 games during our unbeaten league campaign. He moved on to Chelsea in 2006 and would win one more league title in 2009-10 before stints at Roma, LA Galaxy and Derby County. He also represented England 107 times across 13 years. I'm honoured to join the Premier League Hall of Fame, he said. It's humbling and fulfilling to be rewarded at the end of your career. Being a boyhood Arsenal fan, I was living out a dream just pulling on the shirt and playing for the first team. Playing in front of amazing fans so close to the pitch at Highbury, so intimate, and for me one of the most beautiful stadiums. Winning my first Premier League title was certainly special. To lift that trophy in front of my friends and family was amazing. That feeling is hard to explain. Growing up, all I knew was loving Arsenal Football Club. Ashley is the 8th former Arsenal alumni in the Hall of Fame. Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp were inducted in its first year. Patrick Vieira and Ian Wright 12 months later, then Arsene Wenger, Tony Adams and Peter Cech most recently. Whatever the weather. Meet the mascot. Tonight's mascot is Harry, aged 11, from Rayleigh, whose favourite players are Declan Rice, Bukayo Saka and Martin Odegaard. We hope you enjoy the game, Harry. New multi-ball rules. You might notice something different when the ball goes out of play at Emirates Stadium, and it's all down to a change in the Premier League's multi-ball rules. As of last weekend, if the ball goes out of play and cannot be retrieved quickly, players must go to one of the 13 replacement balls placed on cones at regular intervals around the edge of the pitch. Ball assistants will still be on duty, but they are no longer allowed to hand a replacement ball to a player, and are instead required to place balls that have gone out of play back on the cones once they have been retrieved. Why the new system, you ask? The objective of multi-ball is to minimise interruptions to the match when the ball goes out of play by ensuring that replacement balls are readily available to players if required, says the Premier League. It's a dream come true. After turning 17 on March 21st, Ethan Nwaneri signed his first professional contract, and the midfielder was delighted to commit his future to a club he spent over half of his young life at already, having joined our academy aged 9. "I'm delighted to have finally got to this stage after all the hard work over so many years," he said. "It's a proud moment for me and my family to finally be here, so I'm happy and ready to keep working. It was the dream to get to this stage. I've always thought about when this day would come, and I've been looking forward to it, so I'm happy it's finally here. I didn't have to think about it. This is my family, and it feels like home here. Everyone's like a family together, and they care about everyone. It feels so special to me here." The opportunities from Mikel, all the under-21 coaches, under-18 coaches, they've all helped me develop, so I'm grateful to them. Ethan came to prominence when he became the youngest ever player to appear in the English top flight when he came on against Brentford in September 2022, aged just 15 years and 181 days, and played a key role in helping our under-18s reach the FA Youth Cup final last term. Since then, he has made one more Premier League appearance as he continues to develop, and he is enjoying mixing academy matches with training with the first team players that he wishes to emulate in the years to come. You're the cover stars. The supporters have spoken. We gave you the opportunity to vote for today's programme cover via Socios, and you have the winner in your hands now. Declan Rice's late winning goal when we beat Luton Town 4-3 at Kenilworth Road in December. It was a close run thing though. 4,969 people voted using their AFC fan tokens, and the winning cover got 1,333 votes, 26.8%. In second place was Gabriel Jesus just before scoring his goal against the Hatters, which received 25.3% of the vote, followed by Declan's celebration with 25.1%. In fourth place was the retro photo against Luton from the 1983-84 season, which received 22.7% of the vote. Thank you to everyone who took the time to be part of the vote. The streets are our own. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal vs Bayern Munich, UEFA Champions League, Tuesday, April 9th, kick-off 8 p.m. The ballots for this match are now closed. Arsenal vs Aston Villa, Premier League, Sunday, April 14th, kick-off 4:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and Junior Gunner members via Ticket Exchange until 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 14th. Booking fees will apply to all ticket sales. Arsenal vs Leicester City, Women's Super League, Sunday, April 21st, kick-off 2 p.m. Tickets for this match are on general sale. Please note that the date and time of this fixture are subject to change due to TV broadcast selections. Away tickets. Brighton and Hove Albion versus Arsenal, Amex Stadium, Premier League, Saturday, April 6th, 2024, kick-off 5:30 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 20-plus away points. Tottenham Hotspur versus Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Premier League, Sunday, April 28th, 2024, kick-off 2 p.m. Tickets are currently on sale. Please refer to arsenal.com for all sales phases. This game could move back to Saturday, April 27th at 12:30 p.m. if we progress to the UEFA Champions League semi-final. More NMR shirts for role models. The No More Red initiative, launched in January 2022 with Adidas to support the long-standing work being done by Arsenal in the community to keep young people safe from knife crime and youth violence. Within that, one of the aims was to spotlight the work of people who have made a positive difference. And the latest recipient of our special No More Red shirt today are Jeffrey and Nelly Rose. Arsenal in the Community has been working with Jeffrey Barouche from the Brandon Centre since 2018. The Brandon Centre is a local mental health charity for young people and, via funding from the Arsenal Foundation, Jeffrey is present at the Arsenal Hub every Thursday to support Arsenal in the Community participants with mental health concerns. Jeffrey is a hugely experienced psychotherapist and was previously the clinical lead at the Brandon Centre. Nelly Rose is studying on the NCFE Level 3 Extended Diploma in Science and Sports Coaching. As well as being a fantastic student, she takes time on her day off from college to volunteer at our bowling sessions for senior citizens, double club program and gadget workshop. As part of No More Red, the young people were asked to design a t-shirt to be sold in the armory and on Arsenal Direct to raise money for our No More Red charity partners. And Nelly Rose penned the winning design, which will be available to purchase later this month. Ref Watch. This evening's referee is Craig Pawson, age 45, from Sheffield. Craig has been a referee since 1993, and his first Premier League appointment came in March 2013. He was the fourth official when Arsenal beat Aston Villa 4-0 in the 2015 FA Cup final, and he was added to the FIFA International Referees list that same year. Craig has taken charge of 13 Premier League games this season, one of them featuring the Gunners, our 6-0 win at West Ham United in February. He has shown 58 yellow cards, none of those to an Arsenal player, an average of just under 4.5 per game, and 3 red. And my heart will leave you never. Happy birthday, JGS. No one can stay young forever, and to prove it, we are celebrating 40 years of our junior Gunners today. Appropriately, it was against Luton Town back in the 1983-84 season when our very first junior Gunner mascot accompanied the players onto the pitch at Highbury. We have had hundreds of mascots support the players since that day, so thank you to all our junior Gunners past and present for your support throughout this time. And happy birthday, junior Gunners. Notice board. To Nick, happy 50th birthday to my bestie. Amazing memories since 1985 and more to come. Lots of love, Lou. Wishing Jacob Harris a very happy 11th birthday today. Enjoy the game and keep working hard for the Ball Boy squad. COYG. Happy 18th birthday for 7th of April to Olivia Smith in the North Bank tonight. Love Mum, Dad and Benjamin. Kiss. Henry Pigeon's first game at the Arsenal, sitting in Block 15 with his dad and both his granddads. With love from all your family. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 50th birthday, Steve Morgan. Lots of love from Katie, Libby, Amber, Zach and Scarlett. Kiss. Happy 60th birthday to Mark Griston, a lifelong Arsenal fan. With love from Lynn, Jack and Harry. Happy birthday to Isabella Rowan, attending her first match. To Howard Shaw, a long-time season ticket holder and lifelong fan. Happy birthday. Love, Pauline. Kiss. To the best dad and granddad in the world, David Nichols. Happy 80th birthday. Come on, Arsenal, win for him. Happy birthday to Jordan Francois, who celebrated his 30th birthday on March 31st. Love, Zita. Happy 14th birthday, Macy Chalmers Croucher. Have a great day from all the family and the Arsenal. Happy 18th birthday to Jake Meyer Burke. March 20th, 2024. All our love today and always. Mum, Dad, Elliot and Safi. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 12th birthday today to Arsenal fanatic Thaddeus Mooney Flanagan from all your family and friends. Noel Patrick McDermott, senior member. He first attended an Arsenal game in 1958 on April 7th when he travelled from Dublin as Arsenal played Wolves and has been a regular visitor to Highbury and the Emirates ever since. Welcome to Emirates Stadium today, Kaimi Fairbairn and Sean Grubner. Enjoy the game. Arsenal remembers Maureen Salmon. Sad passing of a true fan, aged 88, on 29th of November 2023. A lifelong fan who will be greatly missed by all her family. Jacqueline Anthony. Remembering Jacqueline, 1956 to 2024. She loved her Arsenal as much as she loved her family. Love you and Arsenal forever. Kiss. Matthew Ball passed away on September 12, 2023. A lifelong Arsenal fan, RIP Gunner, and in his own words, come on Arsenal. Joan Holdsworth, in loving memory of Joan, amazing wife of 54 years to Neil and a wonderful mother to Gillian and Alan, RIP, kiss, kiss, kiss. Martin Jocelyn, 1950 to 2024. In loving memory of a lifelong Arsenal supporter, born and raised in Islington. Martin supported the Gunners all his life and was a season ticket holder for many decades. A loving father to Emma and Steve, a proud granddad of four, and loved by many. God bless. We will miss you, pups. Kiss. Brian Manby, disabled supporter, died on March 6th. A long-standing supporter from Highbury to Emirates, sadly missed by all who knew him. Michael J. Twitchin, 25th of October 1934 to 22nd of February 2024. Loved by his daughter Jeanette and family, proudly played for Arsenal as a boy and reserve in the early 1950s. Baldeep Singh. Remembering Baldeep, a passionate football enthusiast and devoted Arsenal fan. May his love for the game live on forever. Rest peacefully. Dora Kelly, who passed away on March 4th, aged 87, a lover of the club, primarily through husband Mike. They even went to a match at Highbury on their wedding day. And children, Christina, Michael and Andrew. Dora was very well known in Cheshunt and Waltham Cross on her mobility scooter, adorned with Union Jacks and Arsenal items, and an Emirates Stadium number plate. She is greatly missed by her family and friends. My blood will forever run through the stone.
Together, Emil Smith Rowe. We speak to our first team players about what togetherness and team spirit means to them. Our academy product on living with the weight of expectation and how his teammates are there for him. Come rain or shine. Through the good times and the tough, Emil Smith Rowe knows the value of having supportive teammates around you. The midfielder has grown up at this club, joining at the age of just 9 and very quickly establishing himself as a central figure on the pitch as he progressed through the ranks. Long picked out as one to watch by his coaches during his days at Hale End, he went on to make his first team debut at the age of 18 in September 2018 and was then handed the prestigious number 10 shirt upon signing a new contract in the summer of 2021. But recently the gifted playmaker has had to be more patient. Injuries curtailed his progress last season and he has been limited to 16 appearances so far this term. He remains a hugely positive influence around the team and in the dressing room though. From a young age, he's been used to being the centre of attention on the pitch, even if he's a more reserved personality off it. In terms of being around the dressing room when I was really young, like 12 or 13, I was really shy, he says. I was quite quiet, maybe close with two or three of the guys. Of course, I got on with everyone, but in terms of being loud in the dressing room, there were a couple of players I got on well with and was close with. Then, as I got older, I got more confident. I think I was the same on the pitch, to be fair.
I've never been that loud on the pitch, and it's similar even now. So I'm similar now as a character to when I was younger, but the difference is my confidence has grown a lot over the years. I like to be the guy they look to, though, on the pitch, and I captained the side a few times on tour. There was one tour in Holland at the Future Cup where I captained the group at under-17 level, which I really enjoyed. A talent as natural and eye-catching as Emile's is never going to go under the radar, so it's a good job he learned to embrace the extra attention and expectation that came with it. "Yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed it," he smiles, "especially in school teams. They would be looking at me to win games, and I knew that. There was a pressure there, but I loved it. I think it helped me too, but at the same time, I was never one to scream and shout at people. Basically, my attitude was just give me the ball and I'll show you what I can do. I'll let my feet do the talking. I was very happy to do that, and even off the pitch, now I'm not the loudest. I like to express myself on the ball instead, but in the changing room, I do try to get on with everyone. I love being part of a team, and that team spirit you get with your teammates. At school, I did athletics, which is obviously more individual. I ran the 400 metres, and I love that. I represented my district and county at 400 metres, so I like that, but it's obviously very different to being in a team. It's hard to explain, because I've been in a team sport all my life. I really enjoyed my running, but with football, you have a whole team around you. Not just the other players, but the coaches, backroom staff. So that gives it a very different feel. You're still responsible for your own performance, and it all comes down to you. But at the same time, you can't let down your teammates, and you want to give your best for them as well. That's a pressure I like too. I love being a team player, being involved in the middle, and working hard for other people. Also, the feeling of winning is great when you can share that with your mates. It works both ways too, having your teammates around you when things are not going so well. Emile believes that feeling of unity is one of the great strengths of this current squad. "Yeah, I've been through that as well, been out of the team and been in the team, so I know how it feels," he reflects. "That's why I think the culture we have here is so important. There is a proper family feel at the club, and that is so important when you need that support from your teammates. Or they need help from you. If someone is on a downer, there is always someone there. Personally, I feel like I can go to anyone to have a chat about stuff, and I hope they all feel the same way too. It's really important to have that at a club, and to feel that unity. I've been through quite a lot over the past couple of seasons," the 23-year-old continues. "I had surgery for the first time as well, and that was a difficult step for me. Going through that was hard, and of course you have your family and friends around you, but at the club, all the staff and players help me so much too. You have tough days when you're injured, and you can't be with the players on the training pitches, but it was important for me to stay involved, keep in touch with everyone, to be present, go to all the meetings, even when I wasn't fit, so that I could stay on top of everything. Even if I couldn't be on the pitch, I wanted to be involved, and the staff were so important. I can't thank them enough for what they did for me during my rehab." Emile missed more than 5 months of action at the start of last season with a groin injury and has made just 3 starts this campaign. It's allowed him to at least form stronger bonds with the team behind the team, the backroom staff that have been with Emile every step of the way on his Arsenal journey so far. "It's so true how important these people are," he says. "We spend a lot of time together, so obviously you are going to be close. With the kit men, the physios, the sports scientists, the coaching staff, it's one team when we are here at the training ground. Even at the end of training sessions on the pitches, we can all have a laugh together. We get on well and we're one big family. We're all here to help the team win. We all want to make each other better every day, and that's a great feeling. I've been here so long now. I've known these guys for a long time, and the new players settle in so quickly that you get to know them well too. It helps you know how to react to different people at different times. Everyone is different and going through different things, so they will deal differently to a win or a defeat. You get to know how to react to them, and that's why it's important to actually get to really know your teammates, really know them, to understand them and know what they need at different times. But it's not accurate to say that Arsenal is all he's known. Since joining our academy in 2010, he's also spent time out on loan at two very different environments. Firstly, with Red Bull Leipzig in the Bundesliga in 2018-19, then with Huddersfield Town in the Championship the following season. He's forged strong bonds with his teammates at both clubs and quickly looked to assimilate himself into the team dynamic. "I love that, building those relationships," he says. "Both times I've been on loan, I made friends that I still speak to. From my time in Germany and at Huddersfield, there are a few guys I stay in touch with, and it's funny when I play against them now and we remember when we were teammates. I always have a chat with them. I was really close with Tyler Adams at Leipzig, and he's at Bournemouth now. He was the only other guy who could speak English, basically, so we hung around a lot together. We lived next door to each other, so we spent a lot of time together. He helped me a lot there, so it's funny that we come up against each other now. Harry Toffolo is another one. He's at Forest now, but we played together at Huddersfield. He joined during the same transfer window as me, and we always have a chat when we play each other." And then, of course, there is the ever-expanding number of Hale End alumni, who Emil often comes up against. "It's true. It seems like most of the games now, there is someone you have been with at some point. Joe Willock scored against us recently, which didn't surprise me, because we know what a great player he is. There's Jadon Anthony as well. He's at Leeds now on loan. We were really close back at Hale End, so it's good to see him doing well too. There are a few Hale End players around at other clubs, and it's always nice to see them, because we've obviously known the same coaches, been through the same things. Also, the boys I've played with for England Youth, it's good to see them too. People I've known from when I was growing up." When it comes to the heat of the action, though, that's when Emil reverts to letting his boots do the talking. It's all smiles before the game, but as soon as the whistle goes, it's full focus on the game, he says. Sometimes there might be the odd word here or there during the game too, and people want to put you off your game, but honestly, I don't get involved with that stuff usually. I prefer to wait until after the game and then have a laugh when we've won. I wouldn't say I'm much of a wind-up guy, though. Emil doesn't seek motivation from those encounters or conversations on the pitch either, because he has a very specific source of inspiration, the Emirates Stadium faithful. As a homegrown player who has developed in front of the supporters' eyes, it's no surprise he's a firm favourite with the fans, and he's very aware of the love they show him. "I definitely feel that when I go onto the pitch, 100%. I know they're willing my next goal. I don't know if they want it even more than I do, but I appreciate it a lot. I can't wait to celebrate together with them again. I've been here since I was 9. I grew up as an Arsenal fan, so it's important for me to give everything I can for the club, especially to those fans who support us no matter what. I definitely think of them a lot when I'm playing, and they're a big part of my daily motivation."
Arsenal women. Gunners hit back to stun Villa. We got back on track in the Women's Super League by coming from behind once again to win 3-1 at Aston Villa on Sunday, March 24th. The hosts had taken the lead against run of play at Villa Park, but Victoria Perlova levelled 10 minutes after the restart, and following a series of stunning saves from Anna Leet, we finally secured all 3 points, thanks to late goals from Lotte Vuben-Moy and Stina Blackstenius. The Gunners pressed high from the start, and Frieda Manham dragged a shot wide within 2 minutes, while Anna Patton was lucky when she missed a long ball that evaded Alessia Russo and ran through to Leet. Kim Little saw a shot deflected wide as we harried the hosts into mistakes at the back, and on the quarter-hour mark, the skipper fired straight at Leet from distance. Beth Mead was next to see a shot deflected clear after cutting in from the right, and Amy Turner did well to block a fierce drive from Manham, but Villa improved as the first half wore on and took the lead when Adriana Leon cut the ball back for Ebony Salmon to steer a precise shot past Manuela Zinsberger. Into the second half, Chloe Lacasse fired in a dangerous cross and Sarah Mayling hacked away Mead's cutback. But the momentum was building and we were level on 54 minutes when Leet parried Russo's shot into the path of Pelova, who side-footed home on the half-volley. Leet did better to hold on to a dangerous cross from Manham on the hour mark, although she was stranded moments later when the Norwegian rifled a shot off the post. The Villa keeper then tipped a header from Vuben Moy over the bar as the pressure mounted, and Manham scooped a shot over the bar before Leet denied Mead and Little in quick succession. She made another fine close-range save from sub Caitlin Ford and an even better one to tip an excellent volley from Pelova over the bar, and was at it again to save low down as sub Blackstenius got her head to a cross from Ford. Into the final 10 minutes we went even closer when Russo headed Fox's cross onto the bar, but on 84 minutes we finally got the breakthrough our play deserved when Ruben Moy rose highest to loop a header beyond Leet, and 2 minutes later we made it 3-1 when Blackstenius burst clear and, despite slipping, squeezed the ball past Leet at the near post. Good luck, Steph. We would like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to former Arsenal captain Steph Houghton, who has announced her imminent retirement from the game. Steph joined the Gunners from Leeds in August 2010 and helped us win the inaugural Women's Super League title in 2011. As well as lifting the league trophy again in 2012, she also won 2 FA Cups and 3 Continental Cups with Arsenal, and captained us with distinction on numerous occasions before joining Manchester City in 2014. The centre-back, who turns 36 in December, went on to win a further Women's Super League title in Sky Blue and also racked up 121 caps for England, skippering the Lionesses to third place at the 2015 World Cup. Injuries have hampered her in recent seasons and led to her missing England's triumphant Euro 2022 campaign. Away from football, Steph has been tireless in her work for charity. In 2018, her husband, former Bradford City defender Stephen Darby, announced his retirement from football after being diagnosed with motor neurone disease. Since then, Steph has worked to raise awareness of the condition and last week pushed Stephen in a wheelchair on a 178-mile charity walk, helping to raise £130,000 for charity. We wish her all the best in her retirement at the end of this season. 4 Gunners in England Squad. Leah Williamson, Lotte Vuben Moy, Beth Mead and Alessia Russo have all been named in Serena Weichmann's latest England squad for the upcoming European qualifying matches. The Lionesses will face Sweden at Wembley on Friday with kick-off at 8 p.m. before facing Katie McCabe's Republic of Ireland at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin on Tuesday, April 9th, kick-off at 7:30 p.m. Good luck to all of our internationals over the coming week. Walk in her name. As in 2023, our supporters organised a 100-kilometre walk to take place throughout March to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Action in honour of Beth Mead's mum, June, who passed away from the disease in January 2023. Last year, this amazing event raised nearly £12,000, so we want to help them receive as many donations as possible in 2024. You can find out more about Walk in Her Name by heading to AWSC_walkinhername on Instagram, where you will also find the Just Giving link to make a donation. Please help if you can. Emily Fox wins Gold Cup. Congratulations to right back Emily Fox, who lifted the Gold Cup with the United States last month. Emily, who joined us from North Carolina, Courage, in January, played the full 90 minutes and provided the assist for the only goal in the 1-0 win over Brazil, floating over a cross for Lindsay Horan to head home at the end of the first half. Our new 100 Club member. Congratulations to Steph Catley, who made her 100th appearance for the club when she emerged from the bench during the 3-1 win at Aston Villa on March 24th. The Australia international joined the Gunners from Rain FC via a double-winning loan spell with Melbourne City in July 2020 and has been a key member of the squad ever since. The 30-year-old left-back, who has 123 caps for the Matildas, has also filled in at centre-back to great effect and is renowned for her set-piece deliveries. She helped us to win the Continental Cup last season. There were two other milestones during the comeback win over Villa, as Leah Williamson made her 200th start and Lotte Vubenmooy her 100th. That took the centre-back pair to 226 and 124 total appearances, respectively, with Leah set to join Faye White on 227, ninth on the all-time appearance list in last Sunday's Continental Cup final. Oh, and in case you missed it, the biggest congratulations of all go to Swedish defender Amanda Lidstedt, who revealed last month that she is expecting her first child. We are supporting her closely through her pregnancy, and Amanda is undertaking light training duties, but she will be unavailable for selection until after she has given birth.
Sustainability. Arsenal Acts. Very special guests. On Friday, March the 15th, a very important delegation arrived for a tour of Emirates Stadium. Rue Hartwell, Steve Pooley, Alex Katana and John Bett were our welcome guests in North London. And for Alex and John in particular, it was a day they will never forget, as both had made the long trip over from Bor in Kenya, home of the Arsenal Forest. Carbon Link, the company we have partnered with in our award-winning sustainability project, are run by Rue, a global forestry expert, with Steve, one of his most valued volunteers, who spends a lot of time with the project in Kenya. John has a long history in sustainable forestry in his native Kenya, working with WWF Kenya, global planting company Tree Nation and Carbon Link, who, as well as working with the Gunners, list the Welsh Government as one of their major planting partners. Alex is very much on the ground within the Arsenal Forest, supervising all of the growing in the nursery, planting and the security and logistics on the site. We have featured Alex's brilliant work a number of times in this programme since we entered into our partnership at the start of the 2021-22 season. Programme editor Andy Exley met the group at Arsenal Tube Station and, following a whistle-stop tour of Highbury, including a look into the hallowed marble halls, they entered Emirates Stadium, where they met club photographer Stuart McFarlane, who expertly guided the group around the dressing rooms, pitch side and other exclusive areas, during which time John and Alex were presented with a signed shirt and lots of Arsenal goodies to take home to Kenya. After heading back to Highbury House, Alex and John produced two hand-carved Arsenal plaques to present to the club. The artwork had been created using neem trees, the species planted in our Arsenal Forest, now universally known in the Bor region of Kenya as the Arsenal tree. They also presented Andy with a large bottle of honey harvested from the hives in our Arsenal Forest. A very sweet ending to a wonderful afternoon. For John, it was a trip he will never forget. As a young soccer enthusiast hailing from Africa, the mere thought of visiting the revered Arsenal offices and the iconic Emirates Stadium was nothing short of a dream come true, he said. Like many others across the continent, I had grown up admiring the legacy and prowess of Arsenal Football Club, making this pilgrimage all the more significant. Setting foot into the hallowed grounds of the Emirates Stadium, I was overwhelmed with a sense of awe and excitement. John goes on to explain the importance of the Arsenal Forest Project to the community in Kenya. It is not merely about planting trees, he says. It symbolises a beacon of hope and sustainability. By investing in the reforestation efforts of Boer, Arsenal is not only benefiting the local planters, but also nurturing biodiversity and combating the adverse effects of climate change. It's a testament to the club's commitment to making a tangible difference beyond the realms of the football pitch. On sharing the incredible story of my visit with my community, I could feel the collective sense of pride and inspiration swelling amongst my peers. Arsenal's impact on our local community transcends borders, fostering a sense of unity and purpose. Moreover, the generosity of Arsenal extends to our local soccer teams, who benefit immensely from receiving Arsenal football kits. The spirit of the club resonates deeply within our hearts, igniting a passion for the sport and instilling a sense of belonging. Long live Arsenal, not only as a football club, but as a beacon of hope and positive change for communities around the world. Alex also expressed his delight at the once-in-a-lifetime trip. It's my great pleasure to express my happiness on visiting Emirates Stadium. It was an unbelievable tour. Everything was explained to us, and we saw so many sections of the stadium, inside and outside. Going to the great old stadium at Highbury, seeing the place we had witnessed on TV and films over many years, was amazing. And to be given such great gifts, including an amazing shirt signed by the players. I still don't believe the way we were hosted. It still feels like a dream. All people here in Boer are amazed with all what happened there. And I also want to say thank you for working with us these last 3 years on the project. And thanks also from our Lions and Lionesses football clubs. All the best. Asante Sana. Be a part of the Arsenal Forest. For more on the project and to buy your own trees for just £1 each, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme.
Community Voice. Arsenal Acts. Project Empowering Community Through Art. Arsenal and GTR unveil Finsbury Park mural. Project Positive Futures. Weekly participants, 300 plus. Yearly participants, 550. Available to young people aged 8 to 18 in Islington. For more information, email Anthony Promdromu at apromdromu@arsenal.co.uk. Positive Futures is the estate-based youth engagement programme that is funded by Islington Council and which aims to support young people through providing them with weekly activities in their local community. This year we are celebrating 20 years of delivering positive futures in Islington, during which time we have engaged more than 10,000 local residents. Recently nominated for the Community Project of the Year at the London Football Awards, weekly football sessions are delivered on local estates by Arsenal in the community coaches, many of whom took part in the programme themselves. This provides young people with role models they can build a positive relationship with, and coaches who are best placed to support the participants' development with us. Participants are provided with a range of developmental opportunities on and off the football pitch, from support with employment and education to engaging in wider social action projects. In December, young people took part in a series of workshops with Co-Creative Connection and Greater Northern Railway to design a mural that has now been installed at Finsbury Park Station. hosted at the Arsenal Hub, workshops guided by professional artist Rose Hill from Co-Creative Connection enabled participants to explore their creativity and contribute their perspectives to the mural's design. Our workshops at the Arsenal Hub and final co-designed mural showcased incredible creativity, said Rose. Murals are such an amazing way to bring a community together. Projects such as this help young people develop a sense of belonging with their local community and create a positive connection with the area. Today marks the unveiling of the mural, which symbolises collaboration, creativity and community spirit, a tangible outcome of our Positive Futures programme. Arsenal, Greater Northern Railway and Co-Creative Connection invite the community to celebrate this remarkable project that reflects the aspirations of Finsbury Park's youth. What they said about the mural. I feel like this mural will give off a better vibe for the people coming in and out of the station, said Ayub, while fellow participant Muab added, I think it will represent the youth of Finsbury Park and Islington. One of the Arsenal coaches highlighted the project's impact on the young participants. The opportunity for the young people to explore their creative potential while reflecting on life in their community has created an opportunity to use the skills they possess on the pitch and contribute towards something beneficial in their community.
My fave shirt. Supporters tell us about an Arsenal shirt they hold in particular affection. Bobby Michler is aged 41 and from Blackpool. His favourite shirt is a beauty from an otherwise grim season. I've been supporting Arsenal since 1993, and my favourite shirt is the 1994/95 away shirt. It's special to me because it was the first Arsenal shirt I owned. Living in the Northwest, it wasn't easy to get an Arsenal shirt, and I was desperate to get one. Other kids wore Liverpool or Manchester United shirts back then, and I didn't want to copy or follow them, so I chose Arsenal. I really like the two-tone blue on the shirt sleeves and rounded collar, and the lightning bolt Gunners shading that runs through the shirt was a great feature on this very modern-looking shirt. The shirt reminds me of Ian Wright. He's my all-time favourite Arsenal player, the reason I started supporting Arsenal, and my footballing hero. His love and passion for the club and for the game was immeasurable back then and still is. Having said that, the match that this shirt most reminds me of is not a fond memory. It was the first time we wore it, and we lost 3-0 at Liverpool, with Robbie Fowler scoring a 5-minute hat-trick. In fact, this shirt doesn't particularly hold great footballing memories on the pitch during the 1994/95 season. It was the worst season of football I can recall in all my years supporting Arsenal. The highlight was the run to the European Cup Winners' Cup final, with Ian Wright memorably scoring the winner at Auxerre wearing the shirt. Unfortunately, the run ended with defeat to Real Zaragoza in the final with that goal in the last minute of extra time. That capped a miserable campaign. But maybe the events of 1994/95 were the catalyst for the huge changes ahead, starting with the arrival of Dennis Bergkamp and, later, Arsene Wenger. Despite the poor season on the pitch, I still love the shirt and it helped grow my love for Arsenal even more. At the time, my family and I had not long moved to Blackpool at the time, so the shirt always brings back memories of a new start in a new area, where I still live today. My mum bought me the shirt as I turned 12. The original shirt doesn't fit me now, but my 12-year-old son Max loves wearing it. I've been able to get one that fits, and it's my favourite shirt in my collection. I wear it for special match occasions, but it's mainly a showpiece shirt now. Did you know? The 1994/95 season was a miserable one for the Gunners. We finished 12th in the Premier League, only 6 points above the relegation zone, following the sacking of manager George Graham in February 1995. We didn't fare much better in the cup competitions, losing 2-0 at home to Millwall in an FA Cup third-round replay and 1-0 at Anfield in the fifth round of the League Cup. And no one needs reminding about the European Cup Winners' Cup final against Real Zaragoza. The one bright spot was the form of Ian Wright, who netted 30 goals in all competitions and was top scorer in the Cup Winners' Cup with 9. Are you a shirt collector? If you share an interest in collecting Arsenal kit, there is an Arsenal shirt collectors group of over 3,500 members worldwide who buy, sell and swap Arsenal kit from all seasons. All welcome. You can find them on Twitter at @shirt_Arsenal or Facebook www.facebook.com/groups/9862024261.
Academy Young Gun, Henry Jeffcott. The Basics. Born London, 15th of the 11th, 2003. Joined 8th of the 6th, 2016. Height 187 centimeters, 75 kilograms. Position defender. School St John's, Leatherhead. Number 56. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace 85. Dribbling 80. Passing 85, shooting 70, defending 95, physical 90. I grew up in Weybridge, and my earliest memory of football was when I would toe-punt the ball over and over again in the garden when I was younger. My mum tells me that I did it so much that my toes would bleed out, and I even had to take a month out because my toes were in so much pain. Not to worry, I eventually got my head around it and changed up the technique. As I was growing up, it was mainly my dad who recognised that I was a decent level. At the time, he was already running a football team, so he became my coach at home in the garden and also when I was playing with the local lads. I looked up to players like Lionel Messi, of course, and I think he's the greatest of all time, and I like Paul Scholes as a kid. I don't know if it was because I was ginger as well, but he was top. In my school days, it wasn't just football I was into. I was good at cross-country and long-distance running, and won some events. I'm also a huge Formula One fan. I watch that a lot on the weekends, and my favourite driver is Lewis Hamilton. The move to Chelsea came about through a scout watching me when I was playing Sunday League. He followed me around for 4 games and then invited me to their development centre. While I was there, they ran a big tournament with all the players and offered a trial to 2 players, and luckily enough, I was one of them. Not long after my trial, I signed a 2-year deal with them. At the same time, I was also training with QPR, who liked me a lot and wanted to sign me. But given that Chelsea was right next to where I lived, I decided to go to them. I was really excited at the time, as a lot of my friends were Chelsea fans, and it was a surreal experience. After a couple of years, I got released, which was tough because I was there for around 6 years, given that I was at their development centre before I signed. In my last season, I barely played due to injuries, which was really difficult because I wasn't able to prove myself. But then Arsenal reached out and invited me in for a trial, so I just moved on with the next challenge. When I arrived, the energy was better and I knew I wanted to be here. They were very talented at the time, with guys like Charlie Patino, who I'd seen on the news as a superstar 12-year-old. Other guys I remember who were there at the time I signed were Kayan Edwards, James Sweet, Brooke Norton-Cuffey, Taylor Foran and Charles Sago Jr. The highlights of my time at Hale End were the tours. I remember going to Malaysia and Singapore, winning both of the tournaments. That was really cool. Going to countries that I wouldn't usually get to visit, winning and playing football with your best mates. It doesn't usually get much better than that. That's what really stands out from the Hale End days. Moving to Sober Realty Training Centre when I got my scholarship was a great moment because you get to see the first team players and it sinks in that your dream isn't too far away. Also, training with the first team is an experience. The levels are high, it's demanding. Mikel is a very technical and tactical coach, and the way he sees football is so detailed. You have to be switched on and dialed in at all times. You have to be ready, mentally and technically. I look up to the 2 centre-backs, William Saliba and Gabriel.
I think they're class and are everything a defender needs to be in terms of aggression, 1v1s, winning aerial duels. Also on the ball, they are so composed, which is very important in our system. Joining Derby on loan was a great experience. It was good from a playing point, but also a personal standpoint, because it took me out of my comfort zone, going to a club where I didn't know anyone within miles, to a new coach, new system, new players, and a whole new environment. I definitely felt I learned a lot about myself, and I grew as a person. It was a different way of playing, so I had to adapt quite quickly, and I'm happy that I got the chance to go there. Representing my country was a big accomplishment and was a big deal in the Jeffcott household. All of my mum's side of the family are Northern Irish, so when I was playing for them, all the family were there watching and it made them really proud. My mum's family are from Inniskillen and I hadn't seen a lot of them for years, so it was amazing to see them all. For the rest of the season, I want to play and win as many games as possible, hopefully getting myself in the best shape possible to make the step up into senior men's football.
Around the academy, Derby ends all square. Our under-21s came from behind to draw 1-1 with Tottenham Hotspur in Premier League 2 on Friday, March the 8th. Thanks to Ethan Nwaneri's 90th-minute equaliser. Our North London rivals looked most likely to score in the opening 20 minutes, but we managed to withstand the pressure. Ovi Ejehiri got a hand to the ball as Will Lankshear attempted to lift it over him almost straight from kickoff before James Sweet was on hand to make a great sliding tackle to clear the danger from a Jamie Donnelly cross. Josh Nicholls did well to clear a Lankshear cross, and then showed quick reflexes to head away the rebound. And soon after that, George Abbott had a shot deflected onto the crossbar. We worked our way into the game and had the ball in the net when Nicholls released a Mario Kozier-Dubery. But he was judged to have timed his run too late and the flag went up for offside. Jimmy Gower and James Sweet both fired straight at Luca Gunter before Spurs took the lead when Diego Alonso's corner was headed into the bottom right corner by Jude Soonsup-Bell. Kozier-Dubery looked to replicate his trademark strike when he cut in from the right wing on the brink of half-time, but his left-footed curler flew wide of the top left corner. Gunter parried away an Nwaneri cross, and we went into the interval behind. Gower volleyed the ball over the bar from Sweet's cross early in the second half, before we had shouts for a penalty when Sweet went down under pressure. Nothing was given, and Diego Alonso fired straight at Ejehiri at the other end. Into the closing stages, we really began to push for an equaliser, with Miles Lewis-Skelly at the heart of the action. He spotted Sweet, who shifted the ball onto his right foot, but shot straight at Gunter. The Spurs keeper then got down to his left to make an important save after Gower worked his way into a shooting position and then tipped an effort from Sweet onto the bar before getting across to his bottom left corner to save an overhead kick from Jack Henry Francis. We came incredibly close to an equaliser as Butler Oyedehi fired towards goal, but Spurs cleared the danger just before the ball crossed the line. In the 90th minute, we got the equaliser our pressure richly deserved, with Ismail Kabia, on as a second-half substitute, crossing for Nwaneri, who bounced the ball over the line for 1-1. 6 minutes were added on, during which Gunter made a double save to stop Nwaneri and Gower from finding a second goal. Gunners pummel Palace. There were goals aplenty at Sobo Realty Training Centre on Saturday, March the 16th, as the under-18s won 8-3 at home to Crystal Palace. Goals from Osman Kamara, Harrison Dudziak and Chido Martin Obi had us 3-0 up inside 18 minutes before Palace pulled one back courtesy of Jesse Derry. We had taken the lead in the 8th minute when Ismail Kabir's driven pass into the box was rolled into Kamara's path by Martin Obi, allowing Osman to curl it into the top right corner. Dudziak made it 2-0 when he got the crucial touch on a ball that was bouncing around in the danger zone. For 3-0, Mikhail Roziak played a lovely ball in for Martin Obi, who simply tapped it past Marcus Hill. After Derry pulled one back for the visitors, we made it 4-1 when Martin Obi struck a sensational curling shot into the bottom right corner from 20 yards out. Ben Casey reduced the arrears early in the second half after going round Jack Porter, but we were awarded a penalty a minute later for a foul from Mofe Jamide. Martin Obi stepped up to complete his hat-trick, smashing the ball into the left of the goal and sending the goalkeeper the wrong way. It was 6-2 in the 54th minute, Kamara smashing the ball into the bottom right corner after a corner kick came out to him, before Palace scored from the spot when Josh Nichols committed a foul in the 18-yard box. Derry struck to the left, with Porter diving the wrong way. With just 1 minute of normal time remaining, Martin Obi capped a productive shift with his fourth of the day, tucking the ball past the goalkeeper after he was played in by Theo Julien. Julien then got a late goal for himself, producing a sensational solo run and slotting the ball into the bottom left corner. The thumping win keeps the under-18s in fifth place in the under-18 Premier League South, though we have games in hand on the teams around us, including Fulham in fourth, who we played yesterday. Result not known at press time. Young Gunners on Euro stage. A number of academy players were in international action last month, notably in the Euro Under-21 and Euro Under-17 qualifiers. In the former, on loan fullback Brooke Norton Cuffey registered an assist 5 minutes after coming off the bench for England in Azerbaijan, setting up Archie Gray for the final goal in a 5-1 win. Brooke also featured in the 7-0 win over Luxembourg, coming on for the last half hour. Fellow loanee Mika Beerith was also in action, with the informed striker playing 18 minutes of Denmark's 3-0 win over Lithuania. Ethan Enwanui was on England duty in their Euro Under-17 qualifying campaign, assisting the first and scoring the second goal in a 5-1 victory over Northern Ireland, and then again assisting and scoring in a comfortable 5-0 win over Hungary. He also scored in the 70th minute of the subsequent 2-1 defeat to France, to halve the deficit in a match where England were down to 10 men for 65 minutes. Forward Chido Martin Obi started Denmark Under-17's 1-0 victory in Serbia, and then opened the scoring in the thumping 7-0 win over Georgia. New signing Braden Clark was an unused sub in Wales's Under-17's 2-1 defeat at home to Sweden, but 3 days later played all of the 2-1 win in Bulgaria. Brian's busy again. Brian Okonkwo has joined Isthmian Premier League side Cheshunt on a work experience loan until the end of the season. The 18-year-old goalkeeper joined the academy in April 2018 and has had previous successful work experience loans with Hitchin Town and Leatherhead. The terms of the deal will see Brian fulfil his training schedule with Arsenal and then join the non-league side ahead of their match days. We wish Brian all the best for his loan spell at Cheshunt and look forward to seeing his continued development. Youngsters learn about the Holocaust. Our under-14 team recently continued their education as part of the Academy's Lifelong Learner programme when they welcomed Holocaust survivor Marla Tribbick, MBE, to Hale End. Marla, who was born in Poland, described how the Nazi invasion impacted her family and how she was one of thousands of Jewish people sent to Bergen-Belsen concentration camp before it was liberated in 1945. Marla's account was by equal measure harrowing and inspiring, and gave the young players a deeper understanding of the Holocaust.
Visitors, Luton Town. Tonight's visitors, formed 1885. Stadium, Kenilworth Road. Since 1905. Capacity, 12,000. Owner, Luton Town Football Club, 2020, Limited. Honours, League Cup winners, 1987-88. Second tier champions, 1981-82. Third tier champions, 1936-37, South. 2004-05, 2018-19. Fourth tier champions, 1967-68. Conference champions, 2013-14. 2022-23, POTY. Tom Lockyer. Most appearances, Bob Norton, 1948-64. 562. Most goals, Gordon Turner, 1949-64, 276. Famous fans, Eric Morecambe, late comedian, Alistair Cook, cricketer, Nick Owen, TV presenter, Cerise Matthews, singer, Colin Salmon, actor. It was always going to be tough for Luton Town on their return to the top flight after a gap of 31 years, and sure enough, the Bedfordshire club, who defeated Coventry on penalties in last season's Championship playoff final, have produced some excellent performances on their Premier League debut, yet still occupy a place in the relegation zone. Nevertheless, as things stand, they have outperformed the two teams that finished above them last season, Burnley and Sheffield United, and are still in with a fighting chance of avoiding an immediate relegation. Greatly assisted, admittedly, by the points deduction handed out to Everton and Nottingham Forest for profit and sustainability irregularities, Luton are still in the thick of the scrap to avoid the drop. They sit in 18th place on 22 points after a narrow 2-1 defeat at Tottenham on Saturday, three behind Everton and level with Forest. But with just 5 victories all season and only one this calendar year, their biggest and best of the campaign, 4-0 at home to Brighton in late January, Luton went into that game having scored at least once in 17 straight Premier League matches, the best ongoing sequence in the division. But they have found it difficult keeping them out at the other end, with just 2 clean sheets in their first 29 fixtures and none away from home. Luton's season was encapsulated by their home game against Arsenal, when they twice came from behind to lead, only to lose 4-3 to Declan Rice's stoppage time winner. Even more frustratingly, they recently lost by the same score at Bournemouth, having led 3-0. That was a replayed fixture after the original match in December was abandoned when Hatters skipper Tom Lockyer suffered a cardiac arrest. The Wales international defender had also been hospitalised due to a heart issue during Luton's Wembley win against Coventry, and it remains to be seen whether he will be able to resume his career. In the meantime, he will be offering his support from the sidelines as Luton, who were playing non-league football in the conference this time a decade ago, bid to defy the odds once more and retain their hard-earned Premier League status. Rob Edwards, manager, born 25th of December 1992, Telford. Previously, Telford 2017-18, England under-16, 2020-21, Forest Green Rovers 2021-22, Watford 2022. Former Wales defender Rob is, at 41, a relative novice as a manager, but he has already recorded a couple of impressive history-making entries on his CV. The first of those was to steer Forest Green Rovers to an unprecedented promotion from League Two in his first season of club management. The second came with Luton, where, after a short, forgettable spell with local rivals Watford, he arrived in November 2022 and promptly led the Hatters to third place in the Championship, and through playoff ties with Sunderland and Coventry, to a first-ever season in the Premier League. Number 24, Thomas Kaminski, goalkeeper, born Dendermonde, Belgium, 23rd of October 1992. Previously, Beerschot, OH Leuven, Anderlecht, Anorthosis, Loan, FC Copenhagen, loan. Kortrijk, Ghent, Blackburn. Thomas joined Luton last summer after three seasons with Blackburn, where he made 115 championship appearances and was voted 2020/21 Player of the Season. He has replaced Ethan Horvath as first-choice keeper, starting every Premier League game, and was rewarded with his first senior cap for Belgium as a substitute in their recent friendly against the Republic of Ireland. Number 12. Issa Kabore, right back. Born Bobo Dioulasso, Burkina Faso, 12th of May 2001. Previously, Mechelen, Manchester City, Troy, loan, Marseille, loan. On the books of Manchester City for the past 4 years, Issa has never played a senior game for the club, but has found his feet in the Premier League this term on loan at Luton, having spent the past two campaigns in France in similar arrangements with Troy and Marseille. The right wing-back from Burkina Faso was voted Best Young Player at the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations. Number 15. Tendon Mengi, centre-back, born Manchester, 30th of April 2002. Previously, Manchester United, Derby, loan, Birmingham, loan. An England youth international recently introduced to the under-21s, Tendon is a product of the Manchester United Youth Academy, though he made just two brief European appearances for the United first team before serving on loan at Derby and Birmingham, and joining Luton for an undisclosed fee last summer. The 21-year-old centre-back has been a regular in an injury-depleted Hatters defence this term. Number 18. Jordan Clark, central midfield. Born Hoyland, 22nd of September 1993. Previously, Barnsley, Chesterfield, loan, Scunthorpe, loan, Hyde, loan, Shrewsbury, Accrington, Stanley. The man who scored Luton's goal against Coventry at Wembley last May, then also converted his penalty in the ensuing shootout. Had to wait patiently to make his Premier League debut, age 30, because he missed the first 3 months of the season with an ankle injury. However, Jordan has featured regularly in recent weeks and scored both goals in Luton's 6-2 FA Cup defeat to Manchester City. Number 6. Ross Barkley, central midfield. Born Liverpool, 5th of December 1993. Previously, Everton, Sheffield Wednesday, loan, Leeds, loan, Chelsea, Aston Villa, loan, Nice. Until recently, Ross had become one of the forgotten men of English football, a member of England's 2014 World Cup squad and an exciting young prospect at Everton. He lost his way after a move to Chelsea and spent last season in France with Nice before returning cost-free to the Premier League with Luton, where he has re-established his credentials, adding class and creativity to the Hatters' midfield. Number 14. Taith Chong, central midfield. Born Willemstad, Curaçao, 4th of December 1999. Previously, Manchester United, Werder Bremen, loan, Club Rouge, loan, Birmingham. Born in the South Caribbean island of Curaçao, Taith represented the Netherlands at various age levels. He came through the youth ranks at Manchester United, but established himself in England at Birmingham City before joining Luton after their promotion last July. The versatile 24-year-old's first Hatters goal came in a 1-1 home draw with Liverpool in November, and he gave the Hatters a shock lead at Tottenham on Saturday. Number 7. Chidozie Ogbene, centre-forward. Born Lagos, Nigeria, 1st of May 1997. Previously, Cork City, Limerick, Brentford, Exeter, loan, Rotherham. Born in Nigeria, Chidozie moved to Ireland with his family at an early age and has represented the country at international level since June 2021. He spent the last four seasons flitting between League One and the Championship with Rotherham before joining Luton as a free agent last July. He has featured regularly for Rob Edwards' side, both as a support striker and right wing-back, scoring four Premier League goals. Number 9. Carlton Morris, centre-forward. born Cambridge, 16th of December 1995. Previously, Norwich, Oxford, Loan, York, Loan, Hamilton, Loan, Rotherham, Loan, Shrewsbury, Loan, MK Dons, Loan, Barnsley. Carlton was Luton's top scorer last season, his first at the club following a move from Barnsley, finding the net 20 times in the Championship to spearhead the club's promotion push. The 28-year-old striker played on loan for six different clubs early in his career, and this is his maiden Premier League campaign, which he has adorned with 8 goals, 4 of them from the penalty spot. 2023/2024 Stat Pack. Premier League. Match facts and total cards. Arsenal. Following their 4-3 win at Kenilworth Road in December, Arsenal are looking to complete their first league double over Luton since the 1983/84 campaign. Yellow cards 41, red cards 2. Luton Town. Luton have conceded at least twice in each of their last 11 away league games against Arsenal, losing the last 10 in a row, drawn 1. This is their first visit to the Gunners since a 2-0 loss in August 1991. Yellow cards 55, red cards 0. Goals Arsenal 70, Luton 42. Expected goals Arsenal 57.5, Luton 36.1. Goals conceded Arsenal 24, Luton 60. Expected goals against Arsenal 19.7, Luton 61.3. Clean sheets Arsenal 11, Luton 2. Shots Arsenal 478, Luton 345. Average possession Arsenal 61.9%, Luton 41.6%. Shot conversion rate Arsenal 14.6%, Luton 12.2%. Points gained after trailing Arsenal 8, Luton 9. Points dropped after leading Arsenal 9, Luton 16. Goal times Arsenal 0-15 minutes, scored 10, conceded 4. 16-30 minutes, scored 10, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 11, conceded 3. 46-60 minutes, scored 11, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 12, conceded 1. 76-90 minutes, scored 16, conceded 5. Luton. 0-15 minutes, scored 5, conceded 5. 16-30 minutes, scored 5, conceded 6. 31-45 minutes, scored 6, conceded 10. 46-60 minutes, scored 5, conceded 11. 61-75 minutes, scored 5, conceded 17. 76-90 minutes, scored 16, conceded 11. Data excludes games played after March 27th. Powered by EA Sports, Premier League, Opta, official data. Scouting report, text, Adrian Clark. Tactics. The Hatters will occasionally play twin strikers, but in recent weeks they have settled on a 3-4-2-1 formation under Rob Edwards, who likes his wing-backs to push forward and offer width. Out of possession, this shape becomes a 5-4-1, with the central midfield especially crowded thanks to a four-man box that tries to deny opponents space. Luton Town's tactical strength is based around resilient teamwork. Style of play. Luton can play good passing football on the deck. Ross Barkley's partnership with Sambi Lokonga has flourished in that sense, but they are usually direct in their approach. Edwards' side make more long passes, 60.4 per game, than any other top-flight side, with powerful centre-forward Carlton Morris the regular target for searching balls sent from back to front. The Hatters will press when it's on to do so, but much of their off-the-ball work is building around picking up second balls and knockdowns. Most of their best attacking play comes down the flanks, where the wing-backs supply plenty of ammunition. Despite averaging just 41.6% possession, Luton have whipped more crosses into the opposition penalty box from open play than any other Premier League side. Newcastle United's Kieran Trippier is the only individual to have produced more successful open play crosses than left wing-back Alfie Doughty. Strengths. As we found to our cost in that thrilling 4-3 win at Kenilworth Road last December, the Bedfordshire outfit are extremely strong from set pieces. Two of their 14 goals from dead ball situations came in that frantic contest, so we must defend set play crosses with more conviction this time around. Doughty's pacey left-footed deliveries can be devilish to deal with. Aerial power is their other main asset. Luton have won more aerial duels than any other team, with Morris the leading striker in that department. And inside the danger zone, they have also registered the greatest number of headed shots, 84. We are the only top-flight team to have scored more headed goals, 16, than the Hatters, 14. Goal scoring in general isn't a problem for Edwards' plucky side. They have notched 42 so far, which is the most of any side in the bottom eight. For context, it is also three more than sixth-placed Manchester United. Weaknesses. Just two clean sheets from 29 matches tells the story of a side that has struggled to stem the flow of goals scored against them this season. Burnley and Sheffield United have conceded more, but Luton will be disappointed to have shipped more than two goals per game. Defending set plays has been an issue, with 14 finding the back of their net. The Hatters will also be frustrated to have gifted so many goals courtesy of individual errors and losing the ball cheaply in bad areas. They have struggled from turnovers and transitions, and a lack of pace in their back three does leave Luton exposed to quickly constructed attacks. Key man. Luton's outstanding performer has been England international midfielder Ross Barkley. Playing with renewed energy, the 30-year-old has revelled in his role as midfield linchpin, creating stacks of chances, 39, and leading by example with his work rate and quality on the ball. His balance, quick feet and progressive passing has added stardust to the starting 11, and with four goals and three assists, he has also made several telling contributions. The former Everton star looks at home playing for Rob Edwards. His drive from central areas and razor-sharp football brain sets him apart.
Match action. Teams. Arsenal versus FC Porto. Arsenal 1, FC Porto 0. After extra time, 1-1 on aggregate. Arsenal win 4-2 on penalties. Arsenal scorer. Trossard, 41st minute. Assist, Odegaard. Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Emirates Stadium. Key moments. 41st minute. Trossard scores after a fine pass from Odegaard. Penalty shootout. Odegaard scores 1-0. Pepe Aquino scores 1-1. Havertz scores 2-1. Wendell's penalty is saved by Raya. 2-1. Saka scores, 3-1. Grujic scores, 3-2. Rice scores, 4-2. Galeno's penalty is saved by Raya, 4-2. Match facts. We've reached the quarter-final of the Champions League for the first time since 2009-2010. This was the second penalty shootout at Emirates Stadium, and the first we've won after losing to Sporting last season. Leandro Trossard has scored in all three of his Champions League appearances at Emirates Stadium. Quotes. David Raya. It's incredible, an incredible feeling. After everything we'd done, we weren't happy with the result over there, and getting the result here, we scored the goal that we needed to have the chance. I think we could have scored a few more, but credit to Porto as well, they played a really good game. They played their game and made things very difficult for us. But in the end it went down to penalties, and the players did their part, scored the goals, and I was lucky enough to save two. Match stats. Expected goals. Arsenal, 0.92. Porto, 0.52. Shots. Arsenal, 13. Porto, 10. Shots on target. Arsenal, 4. Porto, 3. Hit woodwork. Arsenal, 0. Porto, 0. Possession. Arsenal, 58%. Porto, 42%. Completed passes. Arsenal, 466. Porto, 294. Corners. Arsenal, 9. Porto, 1. Tackles, 1. Arsenal, 7. Porto, 20. Offsides. Arsenal, 3. Porto, 3. Yellow cards. Arsenal, 2. Porto, 1. Red cards. Arsenal, 0. Porto, 0.
Match action. Premier League, Sunday, March 31st, 2024, 4:30 p.m, Etihad Stadium. Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. Key moments. 7 minutes, Jesus shoots wide from White's cross. 15, Ake's header is saved at close range by David Raya. 31, Jesus shoots wide from the edge of the area. 37, Haaland heads wide from a deep cross. 49, Saka's cross is just too long for Jesus. 86, Trossard's shot from a narrow angle is saved by Ortega. Match facts. We have kept a clean sheet in both of our league meetings with Manchester City this season, becoming just the fourth side to shut out a Pep Guardiola side in 2 league matches in the same season after Borussia Mönchengladbach in 2014-15, Manchester United in 2020-21, and Crystal Palace in 2021-22. After a run of 57 consecutive games scored in, we become the first side to stop City scoring at home since 2021. This was our first goalless draw since January 3rd, 2023, against Newcastle United. Quotes, William Saliba. It was a tough game against a big team. We are not satisfied 100%, but it's okay. We take the point. We know it's not easy to come here and not concede, and we did well.
Teams. For Arsenal, manager Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, white. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 2. William Saliba. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhães. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. Jurrien Timber. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 15. Jakub Kiwior. 17. Cedric Soares. 18. Takahiro Tomiyasu. 19. Leandro Trossard. 20. Jorginho. 21. Fabio Vieira. 22. David Raya, goalkeeper. 24. Reece Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 29. Kai Havertz. 31. Karl Heine, goalkeeper. 35. Oleksandr Zinchenko. 41. Declan Rice. 63. Ethan Nwaneri. For Luton Town. Manager, Rob Edwards. Shirt, black. Shorts, navy. Socks, black. 1. James Shea, goalkeeper. 2. Gabriel Osho. 3. Dan Potts. 4. Tom Lockyer. 5. Mads Juul Andersen. 6. Ross Barkley. 7. Chiodosi Ogbeni. 8. Luke Berry. 9. Colton Morris. 10. Corley Woodrow. 11. Elijah Adebayo. 12. Issa Kabore. 13. Marvelous Nakamba. 14. Tahith Chong. 15. Tedden Mengi. 16. Rhys Berg. 17. Pelly Ruddock-Mpanzu. 18. Jordan Clark. 19. Jacob Brown. 23. Tim Krul, goalkeeper. 24. Thomas Kaminski, goalkeeper. 27. Daiki Hashioka. 28. Albert Sambi Lokonga. 29. Amari Bell. 30. Andros Townsend. 38. Joe Johnson. 43. Zach Nelson. 44. Axel Piesold. 45. Alfie Doughty. 48. Dominic Martins. Tonight's referee, Craig Pawson. Assistant referees, Mark Perry, Stephen Meredith. Fourth official, Simon Hooper. VAR official, Tim Robinson. Additional VAR official, Daniel Robathan. Tonight's other fixtures, Brentford versus Brighton and Hove Albion, 7:30 p.m. Manchester City versus Aston Villa, 8:15 p.m. No room for racism. The Arsenal Foundation, helping young people fulfil their potential through education and sport.
No room for racism anywhere. Arsenal and the rest of the Premier League will not tolerate racism anywhere, and we are taking action to combat all forms of discrimination. But we can all do more. Challenge it, report it, change it, and together we can make a positive impact. Visit premierleague.com/no room for racism to find out more. Hashtag no room for racism. Challenge it, report it, change it. Premier League. Arsenal.
Emirates. Arsenal official partner. Travel with peace of mind. Fly better.
Arsenal's new 23-24 home kit. Shop now or visit the Armory.